Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 9th. Joining us this morning, I almost used a pronoun. I was going to call you a mom.
Like an amateur noun?
No. But I thought, it might be misunderstood.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, M-O-U. No, M-O-T-H.
What's going on?
Rex Bone. Good morning, sir.
How are we doing?
Good. It was kind of fun to run into you in Ferndale a couple weeks ago. As you were playing tour guide.
That was a busy, it was a busy week, and it was a busy 6 months up to it.
But you were smiling the whole time you were down there.
I had a great time. I mean, in all honesty, there's nothing I like better than showing off Humboldt County. We based out of Ferndale. I think we had over 50 rooms. RCRC came, and the nice thing about the Rural Counties Group is the chair gets to host one meeting in his county. And we had 3 days of tours and meetings, and it was a lot of fun. We had over 38 county supervisors from other districts. I think there were 29 counties represented. So it was great.
So 38 other counties.
Now, no, 31 other counties, 38 supervisors.
Okay. By definition, all rural.
All rural.
So what was their impression of our definition of rural?
And we were in Ferndale, so it's a little bit different than, let's say, if you're in downtown Eureka, just big size-wise and everything else. But we came through Eureka, and they were just so impressed. And I can't say enough about the people of Ferndale. If there was a red carpet to roll out, they rolled it out. I think they rolled out the red dairy mat, I guess. But participated with five different restaurants. We had a dinner at Angelina Inn one night, a dinner at the Ivanhoe with Barb and Dave, Tony and that the Humboldt Suites did a breakfast one morning. Ferndale Meat did a lunch one day, and the Ridgetop Cafe did a lunch one day. And there was a couple where they're out on their own. And then the merchants, Golden Gate Mercantile gave everybody a free jar of jam, whatever flavor they wanted. And then they came in and spent some money. In fact, I'm going to Sacramento this week, and I have to pick up 12 more packages of their soup mix that one of the people had bought. And the guy called me and says, "You're going to hate me, Rex, but I need you to pick me up 12 more packages of that soup." We went through all four of ours, and they're great. So Juliet, the Golden Gate Mercantile, they all stepped up. Joe Coaches and the people just loved Ferndale.
Now, it's not surprising Ferndale stepped up. What was surprising to me is how many people were smiling when they waved at you.
Yeah, with all their fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was, and we, I had Todd from Humboldt Bay Oysters came down and cooked oysters for the pre-meal.
You had an amateur, though, helping him out.
I brought in
not a sous chef.
Dave Tyson, since he's retired from city manager, he has no visible means of income, so I kind of help him out Dave came down and helped, which he does a lot. He cooked oysters with Todd Van Hurt from Humboldt Bay Oyster, and I think we went through 300 oysters in an hour with 60, 75 people. So it was a lot of fun. It was a nice evening, and you were there, and they just...
I just stumbled into it. It was not like I was invited.
But we rented most of the rooms at the VI, Redwood Suites. We rented the four rooms at the Ivanhoe. We had some at the Shaw House and the Gingerbread Mansion.
One of the things for me that was kind of a kick to see, not only just seeing people that were excited and knowing that, I kind of felt like they could have been broadcasters, so I was kind of feeling jacked up because of that. But the opportunity to present our area to some folks that are out of the area and really kind of strut a little bit. Nothing fancy, but to be able to show this is really what we are. It's not maybe what you see on the TV, and it's not necessarily what you hear in the newspaper. This is now what you're experiencing. Harry at Angelina in Lowell and the guys that you were talking about. That's Humboldt County for me.
No, and they did a great job. The small businessmen that, is the backbone, they're really excited. I got a couple pictures from a couple of the guys over the weekend because we toured Humboldt Creamery, and they got to see the ice cream being made and shot in. I mean, it was just great. And they sent me pictures and says, when I got home, he says, because I was explaining to everybody, because Humboldt Creamery provides Costco and Walmart with their ice cream, they got home and they had the ice cream in the freezer. And he said, they were able to tell their family, I was there. I saw that be made. And Mike Callahan from the Creamery, And they don't do tours. I mean, just I don't think, you know, they don't normally do tours. But because this was such a large group that the government people, and some are Dairy counties, but most of them aren't. You know, I mean, we, like I said, we had them from Inyo, Mono, you know, most of, and these aren't all coastal, too. You got to understand, I'm trying to explain to a few of them. We took them for a quick drive out of Centerville. The beach is just 2 miles away, you know. Don't bring your surfboards or anything else. But, I mean, it's right there, but it's gorgeous. And they just really enjoyed the town. Like one of the guys, a couple of them went out and jogged around. They just went down the high school and got on the track and ran. Said nobody ran us off or nothing. I said, nah, they're not big into that running off things. So.
And the horses didn't break free.
And the horses didn't break free either. But they did. It was a great time for 3 days. And the logistics of getting that many rooms, that many meals, and everything set up, tour buses and everything set up, was a big task. And I didn't do any of it. I had Tracy and Kat and Brooke, mainly Tracy in our office, and Justin and Santina from RCRC. They coordinated the whole thing, and it went off without a hitch. It was really a great deal. Even had Bill McBride came in and sang for us on Wednesday night, you know, instead of his Thursday night gig at the Ivanhoe. So it was a good deal.
Yeah, he was pointing out some of the pictures that he was in earlier, and I said, they're not real, and he kind of looked at me. I said, you didn't sign them.
Yeah.
He didn't really know how to react to me at that moment. But you still got the meetings done, got some stuff accomplished, but you also got a chance to kind of show the area.
And I got to show off my home.
Yeah.
I got to show off my district and Humboldt County. We did just not my district, but in the heart of my district.
You taking to the baseball field? Out.
Huh? No, we did. I had about 4-1 to see it. But
Fine. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, you had the chance to kind of strut Humboldt County stuff. What was the impression? What did they get out of it, other than ice cream and, you know, some of the goodies and seeing Tyson working and, you know, a couple of other things like that? What was their takeaway?
Well, and the big thing is since marijuana has now been considered legalized, a lot of these counties are having these growing pains of what to do, what not to do. We had the first ordinance on the books, and, you know, it's transitioning. We have, you know, the rules are ever changing, as our senator and our assemblyman said they would. But my original tours were set up to do Palco, which, you know, the Palco tour, which, you know, years ago when it was on the circuit was, I think,
they used to have logs there at that point, right?
For 54 straight years, it was the number one tourist attraction in Humboldt County.
Yeah.
Was the Palco
tour. I didn't even know they still...
Limited version, but I digress. But they did just open up the fisheries exhibit again, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, okay.
From years ago. It's absolutely gorgeous, and they're going to be putting in a small museum down there too of some of the logging stuff and just
showing pictures of what you used to be able to see.
Yeah, and some of the you know drag saws and probably some, okay. You know, so they're gonna be doing that, which is great, and I thank Humboldt Redwood for that. Obviously,
oh yeah, be a kick
because the salmon exhibition is wonderful, but they didn't want to see a sawmill because we'd seen a sawmill last year, so we ended up, they all wanted is this age of legalization, so we went to Emerald Family Farms and looked at a manufacturing and distribution facility, and they showed them their different products that they make, how they distribute it, how they bring product in, take product out, testing, the extreme testing they do on the product. And then we had a small family farmer there that explained, been doing it for years, and explained his voyage into legalization And then we had the
Humboldt. What were his comments? I know a lot of these folks are shell-shocked because of the cost and the regulations. They didn't understand what was going on. I mean, they may have heard about it, but to actually pay it and do it.
And they are, and I think, and on us a little bit, the state of California, everything else, we're not going to balance anybody's budgets off of these entities, but we have to get a fair tax. Now, with that being said, the tax structure isn't much farther off than alcohol. Alcohol is a very, very highly taxed item. So, and we're working through that, and it's, I mean, that taxing is going to pay for enforcement. We have a lot of illegal grows that we're going after, and we're doing real well.
Yeah, it's not a profit center.
We can't make money. No. So it's not a profit center.
Cost recovery,
over the roads and everything else. Yeah. So that's a big issue, and we're working through that. A lot of Marshall shocked. I mean, it's an underground industry that now
workers
is coming.
Workers' comp, payroll taxes. I mean, just the basics that everybody in business deals with.
All the stuff my dairymen have to deal with. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, it's a big deal. And it's new to them because they've just always went like this, you know.
Wink, nod, nod.
And just giving cash and they've gone. So now that they're coming into the business world. And with that comes a lot of marketing, you know, trying to get their product out, you know. I mean, milk's milk, but everybody tries to advertise it, and I guess pot's pot. So I guess, you know, they want to advertise it, but it's just
Was it a surprise to the supervisors and the others on the tour that there was a lack of awareness of the business costs, or were they more focused on how do you?
I take this. I also look at it this way. It just almost like anything. If a contractor has a guy that works for him for 5 years, and you know he gets his paycheck every week, and he noticed that the guy, the owner of the contracting business, is driving a nicer pickup or something like that, he says, "I've been building this guy's houses. I can do this." But then when you have to go buy the land, pay the taxes, pay the comp, you know, have the credit line, you know, do all of that, there's a lot more to it. So you know, it's all relative. Whether it's a contractor, it's a log truck driver. Everybody does it, thinks they can do it better on their own.
So they may have been smiling to themselves as these folks
were sharing
some of the stories.
Yeah, and I mean, but there's some guys that have been doing this a long time, and they're pretty astute business people, and they're finding out how to do it, and they're coming in through the legal jungle, and are going to make they're probably going to be fairly successful, and
The survivors will be.
Yeah, and I look at it just like wine. I mean, Merced makes three times the wine that Napa makes, but Napa outsells them because they have a quality product. And I think that's what some of the farmers up here are trying to put forward, that they have the Humboldt quality product. It's not a mass produced down there, and
it's going to be more niche. It's not going to be like Ernest and Julio.
Yeah, and there's a market for that. So. Yeah. And it's how they market it. They're talking to people to do that. So
now, when you guys had your follow-up meetings following that, I know that there, I guess that is kind of the definition of a follow-up meeting, huh? Follow-up meeting following that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The transportation from county to county, the differences between counties, that kind of stuff that is not really a state issue. It's more county to county issue.
Yeah.
Is there kind of a coalescing, a coming together that, okay, if it's going from Humboldt to Mendocino, guys, we got to be on the same page here. Otherwise, somebody's going to be – there's a potential for issues.
The evolution of transport and the evolution of distribution, the evolution of sales, taxation, and everything else is going to be so fluid for the next few years. And I've said this before. Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Wood said this is going to be an 8 to 10 year process till we get this figured out, because we're inventing land use – you know, land use as we go, and all these other factors.
So you can't use the wine industry as a template and say, okay, here's how they grow. This is where they grow. This is how they grow. This is the codes that they grow against. This is how they move the product. And the difference is because one is legally recognized legally nationally and the other isn't?
Yeah, I think there might be a little bit to that. But I think California the state laws are going to supersede everything. We can't supersede state laws. So when the state law blankets, you know, we can be tougher than state law, but we can't be more relaxed than state law.
Is there inertia in Sacramento to clean it up?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fine. They all want to get on the bandwagon down there and get their name on something. So
there you go.
That's why we have 5,000 bills this year.
It's 8,000.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese, and by Redeck. Rex, looking at what is out there, you guys are starting to play with the budget now, kind of halfway seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the presentations from the department heads.
Yep.
What sense do you have? Is the state going to pull another quickie like the SB1, Promise X, Deliver Y? Some of the stuff, that's the gas tax dollar stuff.
Well, the SB...
Or with the jail, and monkeying around
jail
with that?
The jail money is supposedly committed, and we expect to start that fairly soon. So
this construction season?
Probably late this year, getting site specific, I think.
So let me ask you a question about that.
Sure.
I can remember, Josh, it was probably 20 years ago now, it was on one of the budget task force.
Anyway, go ahead.
Easy. And there was no recognition by the employees that the free parking that they got was a benefit. Now you're going to be losing some parking slots.
23.
Okay. How is that going to be handled for the staff that works?
We're actually working with HTA right now, way ahead of the game, about providing discounted or almost to the point of free travel passes. We're trying to see how we can offer those to the employees for the basic reason most of them work a pretty straight schedule, so we can work around that. And if we could get
so bring the 10, bus by somewhere in the right time frame,
right yeah. time, right place, and make it work, and kind of put a flex schedule in there, 45 minutes on each end. You know, somebody could come in at 7:45 because they have to leave at 4:45 to catch their bus back to Lolita, whatever the case may be. But we're working on that long before this, you know, before that happens. But I think we're only losing 22, 23 places, and we're actually making we're actually making up for that because it's going to have an undercar garage under a garage.
Right, but so, that's not going to be for general employees, is it?
It will be for the employees that are now parking in that side lot, i.e., jail employees and things like that. So,
how about for jurors?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not thinking that far out.
that's a state issue.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
But anyway, so they're looking at that, and the main thing about this is it's going to be we're going to have offices, obviously, in this building because we're going to have mental health reentry programs and all this stuff. So instead of when someone gets out of jail, they says, "Hey, would you go down the street and check in, and they'll help you out?" Well, that two blocks may be the longest walk in their life if they've been incarcerated for 6-8 months, because that's not the first thing they're thinking about is going to work or doing their paperwork.
Now, is this building going up? Will it be as tall as the other? Yeah, there's got to be plenty of office space in there for somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's a facility in there for the SWAT program, so we can expand our SWAT program. So there'll be more dormitory style housing, so we can, you know, and it's not that we're running at 100% of the jail right now. We're letting
that's what Billy
out.
Said when he was
we're,
in
we're
last
running
week.
Out, we're running yeah. people out that you guys don't want us to let out. That I don't think should be let out. I think because they go in, you know, and get arrested multiple times a day because the repercussions, risk versus reward, just isn't there.
What was it, misdemeanor or cite and release almost?
Almost. Yeah, they've got a matrix and it's a successful matrix. It you know, but they do a pretty good job over there. You know, I know there's questions. People are always questioning how the jails run. I know a couple weeks somebody ago was making a big to-do about something over there, but they'd never even called the sheriff to ask him how it ran. So they just went off on it.
You know, you remember, as I do, what was it, 298 in the old jail?
Yeah.
Okay, now this thing was almost twice capacity, and it was like, boy, this is going to be a moneymaker. We're going to be able to be a regional because the other guys don't have and they need. And now we're full again.
Yep.
I mean, is there just that much more bad guy activity, or was there a soft estimation?
I really think 70% of the people in the jail aren't bad. I think they just make really stupid choices, and we have got a society of a lot of people that just don't care because their values are a little bit wrong.
Okay, certainly.
Without getting real deep,
let's go given with that. I had asked this question when the last one was going around. I think Chris Arnold was the CAO mm-hmm. at the time. How much is enough? And it seems like nobody really knows. I mean, if we had 1,000, would 1,000 be in 1,000 cells? Would that be enough? 2,000, 10,000. How much is enough?
Brian, in 1960, we had 14 million people in California. Today, we just hit 39,800,000. There's more people. And if we're going to go percentages of 3% of them are all going to be crooks, we're going to have more crooks or more bad people or more stupid people making mistakes they shouldn't make.
So if 3 is the rule of thumb, I mean, the reference point, okay, we got 100, let's say 140 just for simple math. So 10% of that is 14, and another third of that is 4,000. I've never heard anybody say that we need to have 4,000 cells.
Oh, I don't think we're going to get there. I think probation, rehabilitation, some of that's going to work, you know. But I think we just have to work on the values that we. And it's not jobs. People say if they had a job, that'd be great. Most of those guys come out. I can get you a job if you can piss. You know, if you can pass a whiz quiz. I can get you a job, and if you can
don't hyphenate that word on me, will you?
and sometimes it's not even that. I had a guy tell me the other day. I said, I just need somebody to show up for 8 hours, and fill the void. I'm not going to overwork them.
Yeah, just showing up.
They're
is
just
a big
showing
thing
up huge because they don't show up. He has to stay in that one position where he has to be doing other stuff, and that's a sad, you know,
reality
to look at. But I mean, that's the problem is that like a guy told me the other day. There's a lot of people applying for jobs. He says, I just need the right people, too.
Well, that's, yeah. KINS News and Information Times, 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rexy. Looking at the budget, you know, we got the jail. That's kind of cool. It's on the side. What are you sensing? Is this?
Well, we have a new juvenile hall facility too. I don't want to go. Yeah. I don't want to be talking incarceration.
Is it open?
But no. But it'd probably be open.
Okay.
Next,
so the walls are still going up.
I mean, there's people working. There's jobs coming out of it. A lot of
we've kind of seen it. It's close enough to where the dogs like to play around.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little behind schedule because we had the wet winter or what we perceived as a wet winter, and you know.
I thought they were waiting for Damiano to retire.
Huh? Yeah. Well, now they can finish it. He's gone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now it's full speed ahead.
No, and that's, you know, we were kind of lucky there. I mean, in having Bill retire, because I think he did a great job and was pretty open with us. But the opportunity to appoint Sean Brennerman in there, because Sean's been there for 20 years, and he's just so calm, easygoing, and he understands all facets of the probation. And the people respect him, and they like him. And, I mean, you tend to work a little harder.
It's a pretty good combination.
You tend to work harder for a guy like that. And he's just a good guy. He's a good dad. His girls were softball players, and I first met him there. And he's going to do a good job. So I'm really happy with the direction the probation department is going to be going. And I don't expect the ship to go off course too much.
Are you going to be able to give them enough money to do their job?
Oh gosh, their budget's pretty good size. They got a pretty good budget.
Yeah,
they got. They got a pretty good budget.
Did you hear about the caseload and the workload and staffing and all those.
This is where he comes in and he has to manage the money he's got. Do more with what you got.
Now, it's been, what, seven years you've been on the board?
That's an old private sector line.
Yeah, I know. But it floats so easily. I'm glad that you haven't forgotten it.
No, it's, and I sit here and I'm the you know, redneck conservative or whatever the case may be. But I look at Measure Z, and I'm not a big tax fan. But the opportunities that Measure Z and what has given us, you know, both on ambulance service, public safety, we've been able to open up, you know, we've been able to open substations in McKinleyville, Willow Creek, Garbrill, so there's people there.
Well, in Shelter Cove.
And we've got a couple resident deputies, Shelter Cove, Dinsmore, you know, or Bridgeville. We've been able to put people on the street. And a big amount of this problem goes away just if, you know, an officer could drive by.
Yeah, somebody's paying attention.
You know, somebody's paying attention. And that's huge. It's provided, I think, 35 people. Maggie has got her caseload, and the numbers the other day has just drastically dropped. And I'm a lot of the times, for a long time there, I was always the first one into the parking lot, and I'm never first. Maggie's always first, and she's still there doing something when I leave. I mean, she puts her nose to the grindstone, and she's done a great job, and she's got some great people. And then Merrick Rivas, who we just appointed in the public defender's office, he's got great respect in his office, changing things around, wants to change the look of the office. So
you're feeling pretty bullish here.
I think the county's heading in a good direction. Now, all the naysayers is we're going to, you know, 9 years, this is a record for not having, you know, an economic downturn. But I looked the other day and somebody says, we're going to have one, but it's going to be nowhere near as bad as it was, you know, 9 years ago. And it's just going to be a little hiccup. So
yeah, things seem to be chugging that, along at the federal level. Know, so the budget you're feeling okay with.
Yeah, the sales tax has slowed down a little bit.
Now, Eureka's talking about floating another 0.25%.
I heard that, the problem being, right, is I hate these things. I really, I go, God bless Leo Sears, you know, and you know.
Well, you're redneck like I am and a bunch of others.
The thing is, costs, our medical, all our costs have gone up, but we haven't been able to raise our prices, our taxes, you know, per se, that. So we have to get a lot of that through sales tax. And it's just, you know, you mentioned SB1, and I just want to throw in that there's a big to-do about repealing that. It's a lot of money. It's 20 cents a gallon, I agree, or 12 cents a gallon on gas. But it will give $7 million to our roads that go just to roads in Humboldt County alone.
Oh, boy, are we going to have fun this summer talking about this one.
Oh, man.
See everybody tomorrow.